In addition to recording this call, which is now happening, I'm also going to put you all on mute. Now, even though you're muted, I want to hear from you. Ideally, I'd love to hear from each one of you on this call, and there are several ways to do it. As I mentioned, this is the Dave Ellis Leadership Call. Today's focus is on increasing motivation, not only for yourself, but for the people around you that you lead. As I've mentioned before, I really consider that you all are leaders. Now, some of you have fancy titles, and some of you don't have a title at all. But I believe that you're a leader if you want something bad enough. If you want something so much that you're willing to ask other people to also want it, and then you're willing to spend your time and energy and money to get it, and just as importantly, you're asking other people to spend their time or energy or money or all three to get it because they want it and you want it. That, to me, is the hallmark of a great leader. During this call, as I mentioned, I want to hear from you, and even though you're on mute, I can unmute you very quickly, and I will if you raise your hand. Now, of course, if you physically just raise your hand, I'm not going to see you, but if you electronically raise your hand, I will, because I have a list of all of the people that are on this call right now by your phone number, and I notice that somebody has already raised his or her hand, and so I'll show you how this works. This person raised his or her hand, and I'm going to call on you. I'm going to just go like that, and then that person who I just called on, that phone unmuted. So now, once your phone is unmuted, tell me who just raised your electronic hand, and what's your name, and what did you raise your hand for? I hear you back there. Your number is 209-261-14498. Well, I'm going to now put you back on mute, and maybe you did it accidentally. By the way, if you do accidentally raise your hand with your *61 on your phone, you accidentally raise your hand, no problem. You can lower it by just hitting *61 again. So throughout this call, I'd love to hear from you. I want to know your comments, your questions, your ideas. I'll set aside specific times when I call on you. But at any time, you can just raise that hand, and I'll push your little hand next to you, and in your ear you'll hear that you're unmuted. So now that you're unmuted, say your first and last name, and then whatever you want to say. Go ahead. Well, whoever keeps raising your hand doesn't seem to want to visit, so I'm going to put you back on mute. That's the idea. Now, there's other ways you can connect to me. Those of you who have iChat or any instant messaging on your computer, you can instant message me. My AIM Buddy list name is Dave Ellis 3@Mac.com. Now, if you don't want to communicate that way, either by verbally raising your hand or maybe you don't have instant messaging, you can send me an email. You can send me an email at Dave@FallingAwake.com. And I'll get that, or Dave@DaveEllisLeadership.com, either one, and I'll get that email so I can reply to you that way. And then there's still one more way to interact with me. And the reason I'm giving you all these is because I really want to interact with you today. I don't want this to just be one-way communication. So you can text me. You can text me at my phone, and my phone is 415-497-2785. Now, if you call that number, I, of course, won't answer it during the next hour, but I will see your text. So that's how we're going to work. Now, the other way that we'll make this call the most powerful is if you take a lot of notes. A few of the notes will be about maybe what I speak about, the ideas that I share regarding motivation. But most of the notes that I'm going to ask that you take are not about what I say, but what you create from my speaking. Because I really don't want you to interact with me in the next 45, 50 minutes as a teacher. I want you to interact with me as a co-inventor. So what you're going to co-invent in the next 50 minutes while we're on this call together are ways that you can increase your own motivation as a leader in every area of your leadership, whether it be leading in your home or leading with your social group or leading in your organization. Whether you're going to increase your own motivation or the motivation of other people in your organization or your church or your community or the political group of our country Whatever your interest is, that's what I want you to invent into. So that in those notes that I'm asking you to take are your inventions, your ways that you're going to put into practice the ideas you come up with and the ideas that I share with you. So please interact with me for this time we're together as if it's just you and me. So therefore, give me your undivided attention. Pretend it's just you and me on the phone. Now, of course, I know it's not, but that's a device. It's a device so that you will be able to more powerfully create, more powerfully invent, and get more value out of this time, because that's really my purpose. The purpose of this call and my purpose of being with you in this series is to assist you to improve your leadership by presenting my best ideas on leadership, and more importantly, by asking you to invent and then commit to new ways that you can be more effective as a leader. And really, what I'm asking is that you become so effective that you have dramatically and permanently improved the quality of your leadership and of your life and of the life of all the people that you lead. That's the kind of leadership I'm talking about. Yes, as a leader, you might help that organization make more money or raise more money, or you might help that group get more votes, or you might help that committee bring in more people, but mostly the kind of leadership I'm talking about is the leadership that improves quality of life. Now today we're going to focus on motivation and what you individually can do. This really fits with Rosh Hashanah. I realize that today is the Jewish celebration of Rosh Hashanah begins, and it was a mistake, by the way, when I scheduled the call for then. But we've got the call, and I know many of you aren't Jewish, and those of you who are and those of you who aren't, you can still practice what the Rosh Hashanah means, which is a time to look at how we can change ourselves so that we change the world. Now, I'm not Jewish, but I heard that on PBS today, and then I went and read it on Wikipedia, so it's got to be true. All right, we're just about to talk about motivation. Before we do, I've got a couple of people who've raised their hands, so as soon as you hear yourself unmuted, just say your name and then say whatever it is that you want to add. Go ahead. Try this again. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave, it's Billy White.
Hey, Billy.
Technically, being Jewish, you're fine on the West Coast here.
Oh, good, because Rosh Hashanah doesn't start for a while? Thanks, Billy. I think I accidentally unmuted you too quickly there, but I got it. Thank you. This call is in a series of three, and those of you who signed up since I started, you can get the podcast. I'll send you all a link again tomorrow so that you can sign up for the podcast for this phone call. And it'll just automatically arrive. If you've already signed up, you don't have to sign up again. It'll just be there for you automatically. And those of you who haven't yet signed up, I'll send that to you. So not only is this call a part of a three-part telecourse, also, several of you are coming to an October leadership training that I'm giving. And these three calls, plus a fourth on October 20th, are part of that workshop. Now, the October 20th call is just going to be about the workshop. So if you're not coming to the workshop, you won't attend that one. But many of you who are on this call are using this as preparation for our 3 days together in Sonoma. Now, if any of you that aren't signed up for that or interested, you can go to my new website. It just came out this week, DaveEllisLeadership.org. That's a new website, and if you go there, you can find out more about that training. But now what I'd like to do is get right to motivation. And as I mentioned before, I want you to take notes. And the notes that I'd like you to take really are two sets. And so if you have two pieces of paper, on one paper, you can write ideas. Now, I'm going to start by giving you my 7 best ideas for increasing motivation. And so you can write those down on there. Now, I know in my email to you, I said I only had 6, but in the whole spirit of invention, I invented another one today. And on that first set of notes, you write motivation at the top, and please do that now. And the reason I'm asking you to do these note-taking is because if you write it down, you'll way more likely that you'll remember it. And then under this, under motivation, you can space down the entire length of the page 7 M's. Because coincidentally enough, all 7 of my ideas start with the letter M. And now, on a second page of notes, what I'd like you to do is to start writing down ways that you can implement these ideas. So on this set of notes, I want you to write down discovery and intention statements. These are statements like, I discovered something about myself. I discovered that I, or I rediscovered that I, or I learned that I. And then also intention statements. They start with things like, I intend to, or I will, or I promise, or my goal is. So in this case, what you've got are ways that you can actually change your behavior once you leave this call, related to motivating yourself and others. Now, I'm going to pause once in a while during my ideas so that you can write, not my idea, because I think you can write enough of that when I'm speaking, but I want you to write down how you might use that idea. And if you don't like my idea, add something to it or change it. And if you really don't like it, turn it completely on its head. Because, again, this is a time for you to invent. And my teaching is there as fodder for your creativity. Okay, here we go. Here are my 7 ideas that all start with an M that are all designed to motivate yourself and or others. The first 5 ideas, the first 5 M's, are all great techniques that you can apply to yourself or you can apply to anyone in your life that you lead. Now, you don't have to be assigned as a leader. It's just that you have taken on that role. The 6th and 7th idea are there really just to assist others to be more motivated. So the first 5 of these M's are for you and others, and the last 2 are just to have you use to motivate others. So here they are. Number 1, write down the word myth. I think that it's much easier for you to instill motivation in yourself and others if you start by considering it a myth. Because I do, by the way. For years and years, I wouldn't even talk about it. For years, people would call me up and say, hey, I hear you're a great speaker and a motivational speaker. I want you to come and motivate our people. And I'd say, I don't do that. And I'd say, well, I heard that when people came and heard you and met with you and were in your workshops and your talks, they came real motivated. They had motivation when they didn't have it before. I said, don't you do that? And I said, no, I think motivation's a myth. I don't think I can't do that. That's what I tell people. I tell them. And then they say, oh, motivation's a myth? You can't bring people motivation? I say, no. And they say, oh, well, how much does that cost? And the answer was, it costs a lot. It costs a lot to bring people and organizations the message that motivation is a myth, because we're always looking for it. We're looking for how to find it in ourselves. We're looking for how to go out and find it someplace else to put it in ourselves. We're wondering why other people seem to have been born with it or have it. We're looking to see how we can find it and put it in others. We treat it, we talk about it like it's like a liver or a kidney. And if we could, you know, some people have them and some people don't. But I think to talk about motivation that way is disempowering. It treats it like a noun, like a thing. And I think that's superstitious. I believe that if you really want what we talk about when we talk about motivation, treat it like an adverb or an adjective. See, I think what people want is excitement, energy. They want to wake up in the morning enthusiastic. That's what they want. And that's what I want to be able to provide. So I think it's easiest to provide that when we don't consider it a noun, when we don't consider it a thing, when we don't interact with it like it's missing. It's never been missing for me in anyone I've ever met. Even though I've been told by a lot of people over the years that their employees have no motivation, or their coworkers aren't motivated, or their friends have no motivation, or on and on and on. Well, I've never met anybody without it. I've met some people who act like they don't have it. But I think that's way different. So I'm recommending to start this, quit treating it like a thing, but instead realize that it's just a description of behaviors. And look for those behaviors. It's a description of a way of being. So let's look for that way of being. And it's a way of being like this. If motivation's a myth, then what isn't? Write these words down. Enthusiasm. Excitement. Energetic. Involved. Interested. Participating. That's what we want. We want those behaviors. We want those ways of being. And we kind of lump them all into this word. Now, so that's my first idea. Now, if you don't like that one, no problem. I've got six more. And given that you've got a bunch of M's there, you can probably guess what a few of those are. But before I leave this idea about motivation being a myth and like we try and find it or we pretend or we think somehow people don't have it, before I leave this idea, I want to find out from you if this is valuable at all. So now on that second sheet of notes, please write down either what you've just learned about yourself in the last couple of minutes while I've been talking about this. So you write down, I learned that I, or I relearned that I. Or write down what you intend to do about this. Is there anything in this idea that you can put into action? I'm going to be quiet for 45 seconds. I'm literally going to time myself. So during this 45 seconds, I want you to write down how you might use this idea or how you might use the opposite of it. Then I want a few of you to raise your electronic hand with *61 and tell me what you thought. But first of all, 45 seconds for you to reflect, invent, and write. Begin now. Several more times during this call, I'm going to again give you an opportunity to write. So some of you, I'm guessing, for 45 seconds sat there and nothing came to mind. A few of you, you're sitting there by your computer, you might have checked your email. Please don't do that. Please participate fully and completely. And now, those of you who wrote, I'm going to call on you and I want to hear from you. So as soon as you hear your phone unmuted, say your first name and then whatever occurred to you.
Dave, this is Joe from Joe Sertich from Minnesota. One of the things that that this brought back as you were describing the action and looking for behaviors was the way I once thought of motivation, which was a motive for action. And I just kind of rediscovered that as you were talking.
Great, Joe. Thank you. And next.
This is Pam.
Hi, Pam.
Hi. I just had an unbelievable experience this week that dovetails right into this. I was in a meeting where I had to be the leader because I was the artist being commissioned. And there was the two owners, which, you know, they kind of fight and have turf wars. Then the designer that was having a turf war with the owner, and then the contractor, and then two other assistants, and then one other guy that kind of was an interloper. So I had like six people kind of talking and giving their opinion. And I think in a normal situation, you would try to like weed out a couple people and just have a core of three you listen to, or you'd kind of like let a couple of them gang up on the other one and shut them up because it's too disparate, too many ideas. But everybody was so enthusiastic about their idea, and they started fighting with each other and having turf wars with each other. And I held this space of possibility, and I just said, look, here's what we're going to do. Everybody gets to have their idea, and I kept reiterating it, and I kept looking in their eyes like a little kid or like a kindergarten teacher. And I just kept saying, we're not trying to eliminate any ideas here. And finally, by the end, and this was after tears and after stomping out, there was all kinds of drama going on. Finally, at the end, it's like there was this crescendo of agreement where every single person's part got to be included. And it all worked, and nobody had to lose, and nobody was winning against that. And it was like the most, it was like having wild horses. It was like having a team of like seven wild horses that were running in different directions, but we still got to where we were going.
Yeah, thanks, Pam. And that's kind of what I'm talking about is the end result. So what Pam has talked about here, what she's described, is what I think you can all have in your meetings, in your organizations, in your social groups, where people, really, nobody loses, even though they start to maybe even argue a bit, but they've got so much energy and so much excitement. Thanks, Pam. Want to hear from somebody else now. Please say your name and whatever else you want to say.
Dave, this is Anna Ream.
Hi, Anna. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. So this myth idea really resonated with me. And I discovered that it reminded me of when someone says to me they're grousing that they really want to do blah, 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 but they just never can seem to get around to it. I like to question if they really do want it or if others want them to be interested in the goal. And my intention is to question this myth strategy in my own list of excuses for why I'm not motivated in some category or another, because I believe that this line of questioning, this process that includes the myth, helps identify where the passion really is in one's life.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Anna. I agree. Because sometimes when we're not motivated, it's because we haven't taken it on. So Anna and Joe both pointed to the next M, and this whole thing is designed to assist people to speak more powerfully and to have a more juicy life. Bill Zilke emailed me, and he said that's what he's interested in. How can we get people to speak more powerfully and have their life really juiced up, energized up? That's the idea here. So now the next M is motive. And that's what Joe mentioned, is that motivation is really a motive for action. And when motivation, now I'm talking about the adjective and the adverb, not the noun. When motivation is missing, excitement, energy, involvement, when that's missing, it's usually because we don't have a motive. We don't have a motive that's ours. So we might have a motive, but it's really somebody else's. We haven't taken it on, like Anna mentioned. So when motivation is missing, please, first of all, if it's missing in you, get in touch with your vision. Donna mentioned, ask yourself, what do I want? And then ask yourself, but what do I really want? What makes my heart sing? What puts a bounce in my step? What just has my heart beam inside? What gets me up in the morning? And that's when I know motivation's not present for me, is when I have a hard time getting out of bed. And when I just leap out of bed, literally, which is what's been happening for the last several months, it's just been somehow like somebody gave me a new motive. And of course, that somebody was me. When I'm really in touch with my motive, my mission, my vision, my purpose, my goals, then I've got those qualities that we call motivation. So if it's missing in you, I recommend now that you make yourself a note, a commitment, to take the time to ask yourself that question and get really clear. If it's missing in others, then I recommend that you make yourself a commitment to assist those that you are leading to get really clear about what they want. Because once they're really clear about what they want, not about what you want, I mean, of course, you can tell people what you want, but again, a leader, I claim, is someone who asks others to want it also. Because if you just try and lead somebody in a direction that they don't want to go, it's like pulling teeth. It's like herding cats. No, people don't want to do that. But once people take on your desire, and it's not yours anymore, once they take it on, it's their desire, then they're much more likely to operate in the way that you want, excited, energetic, participatory, involved, full out energy. So that second idea of increasing motivation is to look to motive. It's the root of the word. If motive is missing, motivation is missing. True, authentic motive. Once again, I want to stop and pause and have you think about this. In your life or increasing your own motivation, or, as I said, this one really works well to increase others also. So what could you do to put this idea into practice? I'll be quiet this time for 45 seconds once again while you think. Remembering what you're thinking is how you could shift things in your life so that things shift in the life of the people that you lead, and everybody's quality of life goes up. I'll be quiet now. Please write. You're writing. What are you learning about yourself? What do you intend to do differently? All right, like before, I'd like to hear from a few of you, so please electronically raise your hand with *61 or text me at DaveEllis3@mac.com or text me on my phone. I gave you that number earlier, 415-497-2785. Or at least somebody raise your electronic hand at *61 so we can hear what you're thinking about. Maybe two people. How could you use this idea of getting clearer about your own vision, your own mission, your own purpose? I'll take you off mute, say your name, and then whatever it is you want to say.
Hi, Dave. This is Peter Walsh from San Francisco.
Hi, Peter.
It just occurred to me that one of the things that I've noticed in working with you over the last year that's made a big difference in getting clear about what it is I want, what my motivation, my purpose is that I had to identify the habits of mind and attention in particular that were not supportive of that motivation, that were negativity or criticism or something that was literally taking up energy. And that when I made the commitment to release that energy, it was like it just freed up the creativity and the real motivation to arrive. And that's what I think has made an difference for me. So my intention is to continue that process.
Thanks, Peter. And please, the rest of you, as you listen to Peter, take his idea and use it because it's a wonderful idea. I think a lot of us are using our energy so much on that which we don't really want that we've got no energy left to even discover what we really want or to put our time and energy and money into it. Thanks, Peter. Next idea. Increasing motivation. Again, the adjective, the adverb, not the noun. You increase motivation, monitor. Set up a monitoring system. I think that motivation, behaving in this way that I'm talking about, being energetic and excited, involved in life, jumping out of bed in the morning because you really want to face your day and do what you have to do, and walking with a spring in your step, those kind of attributes we talk about, they're habits. And I believe that you can change those when you start to monitor them. So set up a way to monitor how your motivation's going. You want to increase it? Measure it. I believe that anything we monitor changes in the direction of our intention. So you want to be more energetic? Monitor. You want to be more enthused? Monitor. You want to participate more fully and completely? Monitor. You want to jump out of bed right away in the morning with a lot of spark and energy? Monitor it. Now, how do you monitor? Well, get a calendar and give yourself a grade every day, or maybe two or three times a day. The more you monitor it, the faster it changes. Some people say, oh, well, it's a habit. It takes 28 days to change. Well, I don't think so. Some of my most long-standing habits have changed in 3 days. Actually, a couple of them changed in 3 hours. I think habits change as fast as we put our time and energy and monitoring into them. More often you monitor them, the faster they change. So an hourly score, a daily score, or a grade, write it in a log, a journal, on a calendar, in your computer. Monitor it. You can also monitor it by not only scoring yourself, but getting feedback from other people. This is a great way because they can see what's hard for you to see. So somebody you work with, ask them to give you a grade every day about your level of motivation. Somebody you live with, maybe ask them to give you a grade every day of your level of motivation. A few months ago, my wife said to me, she said, you know, you don't seem to be very happy at work lately. And I said, whoa, no kidding? I said, I'm amazed because I've been really happy. And she said, well, somebody ought to tell your face. Now, that's an old joke, but it's really true. And it was great that she would tell me that, because I thought that I was displaying it. And although you may say, well, I've got it, but it's just not being displayed, it's hard to maintain it if you're not displaying it. So back to the idea, monitor, set up some kind of a system, feedback from other people, or daily report, some way to check and look at, be able to observe on a chart, maybe chart it, your level of excitement, energy, and involvement. So that's my third idea, using it with other people, using it with yourself. You could ask your staff to monitor themselves. You could ask the people, your friends, to monitor themselves. I've done that. I'm going to be quiet now. Think, write. How could you use this? I'll be quiet this time for just 30 seconds. Go. Now, once again, please electronically raise your hand so I can just know what you just invented or what you just committed to, or send me an email or a text or a chat. Got an email from Bill Zilke. Thanks a lot, Bill, for checking in. He said, what do you do if you really want something but you don't have the motive for it? You drill deep down and discover that you really do want it, but you don't really want it. All you've got is you want it. Yeah, I've been in that situation where I want it, but I just don't really, when I tell the truth, I don't want it. And in those cases, I recommend that you start the list of the benefits of it and the costs of it. Because I think a lot of times when we want it, but there's a hesitancy there, it's because there is an unconscious thought of cost. There's a thought we have about how costly it might be, but we haven't really brought to our consciousness that potential cost. Or there are benefits, but we haven't brought to our consciousness those benefits. So again, if you want something, but you don't have that spark, then you want it, make those lists. The lists of all the benefits for it, and then also the list of the costs. Now, once you get the list of the costs, see if there's some way to mitigate the costs. For example, for years, one of the things I've wanted to do is have an impact on a lot of people. I wanted to be able to have my writing and my teaching significantly impact people. But then I realized that I had a subconscious fear that if I did that, I would get so well known that I wouldn't have privacy. Now, once that fear came to consciousness, then I could deal with that fear. And I could see how, in fact, there's a lot of ways that I could still maintain my privacy and make a big difference with people and reach literally millions of people. And that helped me reach that goal. Thanks, Bill, for the question. Anybody else have a comment or question, please hit *61. And now I'm going to go to the next idea, and of course it begins with an M, and that is to measure the gap between where you are and your next step. I think that people lose their motivation, or they lose their excitement, their energy, their involvement, their enthusiasm. They lose it when the next step is either too big or too small. So please imagine, for example, standing in front of a stairway, and on the top of that stairway is what you want to reach. That's your goal, your mission, your purpose. So now you're at the bottom of the stairway, and up at the top is what you're after. And now imagine that that stairway, the stairs are about up to the middle of your thigh. And now, go to take a step. Whoa, that's frustrating. Try it again. You're going to reach your leg up, clear up. I mean, those of you who are standing up, those of you who are sitting down, stand up. I mean, just try this, because you'll remember it for a long time if you just follow my little funny direction here, which is to literally stand up now and try and take a step that was as tall as the middle of your thigh. Now, I know there's a few yogis on the call, so you probably got it. But for most of you, it was really hard to get your leg up that far. So you try it, then you try it again, and then you finally get your foot up there, and now try and bring your body up there. Boy, is that frustrating. And pretty soon, we just stop. Because the gap from where you are to the next step, too high. Now, on the other hand, imagine a stairway where the stairs are about 1 inch tall. Well, let's go a little further. 2 inches tall. The stairs are 2 inches tall. Okay, walk up one. Now walk up another. And now another. And now another. And you are going to get so bored so fast because there's no challenge. There's no excitement. There's nothing that requires you and your skill level. Back to my idea, which is if you want to increase your motivation, measure the gap between where you are and your next step. How high is that step? If it's too high, lower it. So it's challenging, but not frustrating. If it's too low, raise it. So it's exciting, but not boring. I'm going to give you one more idea, and then I'm going to give you time to write again. So don't forget this strategy, which is called measure the gap between where you are and your next step, and don't have it too big or too small. Next strategy, to manage. Increase motivation, manage your conversation and your community. This is a little bit very similar to what I understood Peter talking about a moment ago, which is that when we have something that is gnawing on us, when we have a particular internal conversation about what we ought to be doing or what we should be doing, it's very difficult for us to be excited. So manage your conversation. Notice you're listening to. Notice what you're speaking. Notice what the people around you are saying. Notice the conversation in your organization. Is it a conversation of excitement, of involvement, or is it a conversation of frustration? That's the kind of speaking that I think can really make a difference, which is when it's a conversation of excitement and involvement, of full participation. Now, I just got a message here from Bill Rentz that says something about my phone is breaking up, so I'm going to shift phones this moment. All right, I switched phones and it didn't work, so I'm back on this one, and we'll just put up with a little bit of static unless it gets too bad. Keep giving me feedback. All right, now I'm talking about managing your conversation. I'm talking about the words that you say to others that influence them and influence yourself, because the words you say to others are really the ones that you hear the most. You hear your own voice more than any others. What I'm recommending is that you hang around people that speak about the possibilities of the future, not the problems. That you hang around people that speak about solutions. That you hang around people that speak about what they're excited about, what energizes them. Now, of course, once in a while, they'll talk about what's not working, but primarily, hang around people that are talking about what is working, what the new plans, promises there are. It really reminds me of the current conversation about the economy, the whole political conversation right now, the whole economic conversation. The news is so, in a way, demotivating. It is so negative. It is so filled with what's wrong, and the political discussion. All the politicians in both parties are talking about what's wrong with the other person. Of course, the politicians are talking about what's wrong with the economy. And now you say, yeah, but there really is something wrong. Well, yeah, of course. And we could be talking about solutions, not problems. We could be talking about possibilities, not the upsets and the mistakes. Now, what happens, though, if you try and shift the conversation and you just can't seem to shift it? Well, then shift your community. Actually start hanging around new people. I think it'll make the world a difference. Now, I'm going to pause again because, as I mentioned at the beginning of this call, I really want you to invent. How can you put these ideas into practice? And if you don't like these ideas, what ideas could you use to help yourself be more energetic, enthused, involved, participatory, and help the people around you have those same qualities? I'll be quiet now for 40 seconds while you write. You write your new ideas. You write how you might apply these ideas. Please begin. All right. Is someone's hand up? No. Somebody else, please raise your hand. Or text me. All right.
fact, I switched headsets, so Bill, please give me some input, and I'm also calling on the next person. As soon as you hear that your line has been unmuted, say your name and whatever it is that you have to say or want to say.
This is Karen Buckley, Dave. Hi there. I love that image of the stair being too high to actually take a step up. And I'm thinking about the website that my business partner and I are working on developing right now, and how easily we push it off to the end of a day's agenda. And I think you've really helped diagnose exactly what the problem is, which is that we're looking at the website as the whole enchilada. We're not looking at it in a measurable chunk, in something that we actually feel like we can accomplish in that day. And so I really appreciate that. I think that can increase our motivation if we begin to take a great big task like that and chunk it down into small pieces and figure out each of the small pieces and really give ourselves a huge congratulations when we do take those.
Yeah, divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
If it's too big, we're just not going to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Karen. Somebody else.
You're welcome.
I saw that you, other people were on there. I lost contact, so you're having a hard time getting it through. If you raise your hand, what happened is I think I lost you, but here we go. Go ahead.
Dave, Pete Chandonnet.
Hi, Pete.
Hi, Dave. I relearned that it's really important for me to be with people that are inspiring to be around because they assist me with staying motivated, not only for myself, but for what's possible for, you know, my community, but and also the world at large. And so I'm recommitting to really cultivating those friends, colleagues, associates that are really wanting to stay on the scenic path.
Yeah. Thanks, Pete. That's right. I think that what we can do is hang around people that are inspiring, and you can also read books that are inspiring. You can listen to tapes that are inspiring. You can listen to the TV programs that are inspiring to you, and avoid those that aren't. Just unmuted someone else. Go ahead.
Dave, I just wanted to let you know that the connection sounds a little like you're underwater. I don't know if I'm the only one, but it's pretty broken up.
Thanks, Pam. Now, is it still broken up at this very moment? Because I switched headset.
Not at this very moment.
Thank you. I appreciate your feedback. That's just what those hand raises are for, by the way, folks. I just called on somebody else. Please say your name and whatever else you want to say.
Yes, Dave. Jean Berry and Merced.
Hi, Jean.
Yes, Dave.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking as I was listening how much trouble we're having with the phones, and I thought, oh, this is the time we need to manage our conversations. And I thought, isn't it great that we have been able to communicate and hear you for 45 minutes without any problems? So I think this is a perfect example of the idea that you're trying to share with us.
Yeah, thanks, Jean. I'm just always amazed that the phones work at all, and so... Thank you for bringing that more positive interpretation. Here's two more people, and then I'll finish up with my other ideas.
Hi, this is Shirley from Ontario. And, Dave, first two things. One is your first idea just was very liberating to me, so thank you for that. And the second is that in the this last around managing your conversation, I've sort of been working at what's the story I'm telling myself, and just your idea around, you know, paying attention to the people around and what are they talking about as a reflection of the story that I tell myself, just helps me to remind myself to Be very aware of the story that I'm telling myself that I may be inadvertently putting out there that I don't want to be. So, thanks.
Yeah, very good. That's exactly the point, Shirley. Thank you. And one more. Say your name and whatever it is that you'd like to speak.
Dave, this is JP from Vancouver.
Yeah, JP.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a little testimonial to the managing your conversation. In one of the areas that we worked at here at work, we had a pretty difficult and negative environment with a lot of people. And one day after taking your course, I just came back and said that, listen, we're only going to talk about positive things, and every issue that we have, we're going to address it in a positive way. And just by managing that and correcting people about keeping it positive, the attitudes of the people really changed almost overnight. And the more dramatic thing that I found is that the individuals that didn't like that conversation were, you know, that I would call them the toxic people within our group. They actually ended up leaving because they just didn't. They wanted the discourse. They wanted the fight. And once that was taken away from our organization, everything had simply changed, and it was just a remarkable improvement in our organization over time. So I just, you know, just managing the conversation within a group actually worked splendidly. So
great, JP. That's a good example. And what I ask for around the people that I work with and even live with is that I say, of course we can talk about problems. We can talk about things that don't work. But let's not have it out of balance. Let's have at least as much time when we're talking about what is working, or maybe twice as much time when we're talking about what is working, and then just a little of the time when we're talking about the problems.
Right.
And then a lot of time when we're talking about the solutions. Thanks. Thanks, JP. And now we're going to want to present these next two ideas and fill out our M's. As I mentioned, the first five ideas you can use with yourself. You can use to motivate yourself, to increase your own motive, excitement, and energy, or with others. These next two are primarily for you and your leadership role to use with others. The sixth idea is to mirror. Because people don't know what they look like. So report what you're observing in your family, in your church, in your community, in your organization. Just say what you see. If it's like JP and you see that the organization has become negative and listless, report that. Mirror. People don't see it. It's the example I told you with my wife who in a way she was motivating me because she was applying this technique. She was mirroring. So you go to people and say, well, you know, you might feel motivated, but you don't look it. You're not behaving it. So please act consistent with your internal experience. Often, when we do this, people will get a little irritated. So please be gentle. Because sometimes when you give people that mirroring, they feel criticized. Therefore, you might even want to start with, look, please in no way feel criticized. I just want to tell you what I see. And I see that you don't seem to have much energy these days. And often, you don't even need to follow up with a request. Just the fact that you said that, people will become more energetic. Where you say, you know, what it looks like is you're not participating very much. You come to the meeting and you don't say anything. Now, often that mirroring all by itself is sufficient. Once in a while, you might want to follow it with a request. Like, I notice you haven't said anything in the meeting and I'd love to hear from you. I notice that you've been kind of just physically looking like you're dragging. And it would be great to have more energy from you. I remember when I first started my first college teaching job, the president of the college came there one day and said that the chairman of the board had seen me around and said that he thought I was going to be somebody that really was successful. And the president said, well, why do you think that new guy is going to be successful? And the chairman of the board said, well, because I watch him go up the steps and he takes the steps two at a time. I'm not recommending you take the steps two at a time unless you feel like it. I'm not recommending that you bounce around unless you feel like it. But I am recommending that if you want to improve the motivation of others? Tell them what you see. Well, my last idea is actually, I saved the best for last because I think it's the way to make the biggest difference with people around you, no matter what it is that you want them to change, and that is to be a model. So the last M is to model. Model what it is that you want to see in terms of excitement, participation, involvement. Model the kind of energy and enthusiasm that you want. Now, I'm not talking about height. I think a lot of times people think motivation is that kind of Zig Ziglar, old-time salesperson who kind of walks in and is talking fast. And I don't believe that. I don't like to be around people like that, and I don't like myself when I'm like that. So I'm not talking about that kind of height, false, added to energy. I'm talking about real involvement, real participation, real excitement and enthusiasm. And I think that if you want it around others, the way to most effectively get it there is that authentic, sincere modeling of it. So now, I know we've only got 2 minutes left, but I want to spend half of those, one half a minute, asking you to write again. So please, now, take a half a minute while I be quiet and write down how you could use any of these ideas that we presented. Write down, I intend to, and then what you intend to do so that you'll be way more effective as a leader. Please, right now, I'll be quiet for 30 seconds. All right, well, the sun is starting to set in California, so it's getting to be Rosh Hashanah. And I know in other parts of the country it's already occurred. But in this day when the Jewish faith starts to look at how they can change individual pieces of themselves in order to improve the world, I thank you for doing the same, because that's why we're here. Now, I'd love to hear whatever it is that you wrote. And we don't have time on this call, but you can text me. You can email me. I do want to hear from you. And if you are listening to the podcast of this and weren't here live, I still want to hear from you. Now, if any of you have family or friends or coworkers that you think might be interested in this teleclass, please have them go to DaveEllisLeadership.org and they can sign up. The next telecourse is about time and task management, setting up a time system, a time management system or a task management system that works for you. You know, I've got one I've developed, and I'm going to tell you about it. I'm also going to tell you about some ones I've read about, some ones I've tried. But mostly, again, I'm going to ask that you spend that hour when we're next together inventing a time and task management system that really works for you. And, of course, part of the reason that I do this telecourse is to enthuse you, excite you about coming to our 3-day leadership event. So please do that. Please consider that. You can find out more about it at DaveEllisLeadership.org, and you can see our new website, and you can check to see if maybe spending 3 days together at the end of October would be something that would be valuable for you. So thank you for being on this call. I really appreciate it, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks, and we'll look at managing time and tasks. I've gotten some emails from several of you just now. I've gotten a text message. So you're into the high tech, and we'll talk again in 1 week. Good night. Hello.